Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that should be of grave concern for every conservative, for every Christian, for every patriot in America. It should be a concern for every citizen on a global basis. We should look up, sit up, stand up, smell the coffee, as I like to call it, and realize what is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that I need to touch on at this point, and then we'll go back to Greg, one of our 4 sons. Greg is on the line with us today, and we're going to entertain some of his thoughts and comments about this very grave, serious subject. Looking at an article that says, Ukrainian Jewish community on edge as Russia invades their country. The article states, Western nations notice the official invasion of the country has left its citizens, and particularly the Jewish community, on edge. Throughout Ukraine, Jewish leaders are watching closely, and many have made contingency plans in the event the situation worsens. An estimated 200,000 Jews are spread throughout the number of communities in the country. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is going to be part of the nexus that brings Israel eventually into the grave global picture as Russia continues to expand as the northern bear that's going after land and going after world domination, which has been on the heart and the mind of the former KGB agent named Vladimir Putin. Before the break, we were talking about some issues that I believe are pertinent to what we're seeing in this big picture. Greg, go over with your comment and your thoughts in relationship to what we were discussing just before the break.
Well, you know, as you rolled out to break, I was pointing out that the words that you share every day, especially when we discuss eschatological events, many times those are perceived as intended to scare folks.
And I hope it does. Is not,
well, you would hope that you would scare them away from the devastation, the hell to come. You know, be a good shepherd as Ezekiel 34 requires of you. However, some just all that they know is fear, and that's not a child of God position. But it's not to scare, but to prepare folks for what is to come. As the senior theologian here, 1 Thessalonians 5, the first few verses touches on some of this, and it says that these things will come as travail upon a woman. This will happen as a thief in the night. Can you elucidate our minds as to what that is meaning? That to come as travail upon a woman is what we're seeing now something that's the build up to, and how would you explain that? What words would you put that into?
Greg, it's called another place in the scripture, the birth pangs, and that is called in the 1 Thessalonians 5 text, same thing there, the birth pangs, and that's something that starts with a small pain, intensifies and intensifies until birth is given. So we're watching the birth pangs taking place, and it intensifies as the days, the weeks, and the months go by. It intensifies toward the final ending of God's eschatological truth coming about in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ snatching the church out of this old world and bringing about the on the scene, the man of sin, the Antichrist, to rule and to reign, and the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately returning and slaying him with the sword of his mouth, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21.
You spend a lot of time in analysis of the word and analysis of the daily news. Could you encapsulate the reason for that? I mean, I know in verse 6 in that same chapter, let us not sleep as others sleep, but let us watch and be sober. What other verses would you point to and say, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing?
Well, according to the scripture, we are as Christians to be watchmen on the wall. We are to warn of danger coming. And the scripture is very, very clear. And I don't know how serious others take this, but the scripture is very clear. If we see and know what's happening and we do not warn others, and others are harmed, damaged, or are killed as a result of it, the scripture says the blood is on our hands. But if we make the warning and there's no one listening, no one adhering, no one doing anything, then the blood's on their hands for the loss of life and or for the loss of liberty and freedom. I take that very seriously, Greg.
Well, from that 100%, I wholeheartedly agree. I suppose because I've been on the receiving end of some of those things, you know, you're looking for the Antichrist, and I'm going, no, I'm looking for the return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And all these things point to his return. And, you know, that point of scripture where that crown of righteousness is for all those that love his appearing. I love his appearing. I'm looking forward to his appearing. And I want to be watchful and vigilant and sober as the day draws near. I do not understand the believer that wants to say, no, y'all been looking for his return for 2,000 years. I want to say to that believer, hey, folks, if that's the way you believe, you are further evidence that we are at the last of the last days.
Well, this is the reason in that same text you're speaking of in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. That's watch, be alert and ready. And then in verse 7, for they, that's the lost, they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, the believer, who are of the day, be sober, that is somber, the recognition of, and putting on their breastplate of faith and love and helmet, that hope of salvation, for an helmet for the hope of salvation. We need to be the ones that are considered living in the day and recognizing it. Greg, let me ask you a question. Based on what we see and what we know taking place in Ukraine today, what will the redounding effect be on American culture, on American economy, on American goods and the transportation of goods and the availability of goods in the very near future, almost overnight? What do you say is going to take place? And I'm saying this because many people listening today, Greg, I believe, have the philosophy that this is not going to affect me. It's on a faraway country. It's not going to affect. By the way, let me just insert this little parenthetical footnote for our listeners. I don't believe we have any responsibility from the standpoint of a national interest of going into Ukraine with boots on the grounds and losing lives like we did in Vietnam, like we did in the Korean conflict, like we did in Afghanistan war. I don't believe we have that responsibility to do so. But there's some war hawks that are saying that we need to put boots on the ground. Even now, they're screaming in Biden's ear that that needs to be done to go in and protect the Ukrainians. But what will be the redounding results of what is happening in Ukraine as to American culture, American economy, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, you know, let me back up just a 14-month window of time, a 13-month window of time. When Biden came in, he immediately dropped the sanctions against those that were doing the development of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline that connected Russia with Germany. By doing that, he enhanced the reliance upon Russian fuel, Russian oil, Russian energy. Today, it is said that we receive about 595,000 barrels of oil per day from Russia. The United States, relying upon 590, I'm not sure that that's the exact number. That's what I've been told. But as much as we will have people screaming for, well, we need to have sanctions in place today. We need to put a stop to this. And they may try, but understand Russia can put its own measures in place that will hurt us dramatically. And, you know, I still say that, once you see an aggressor nation like that, you have to look forward and see what's next, because the chaos in Europe can expand exponentially rather quickly. Those folks in Europe – rely upon the United States. That's part of why, you know, Orange Man Bad, you know, Donald Trump was saying, you NATO nations need to contribute. You need to put in your required 2% in order that we preserve. Basically, we can't carry the entire load. You guys have to. But see, you have a lot of semi-socialist nations across Europe that have spent all their money on social programs, and they don't want to spend anything on military. They're like, hey, United States, you rescued us before. You just rescue us again when things go bad. So that's kind of the mode of operation that they have. I believe that we're going to see in the midst of this the cyber attacks that's been warned of. Yes. I think we're going to see that against energy, against banking, against, you know, across the board. And there were talks weeks ago about the United States sending as many as 250,000 troops to the region, rolling into Poland and other NATO allies in order to bolster their defenses to make sure Russia doesn't go on the rampage. If we start rolling a lot of troops there, that is going to be the complete green light for China to go ahead and roll right on over the top of Taiwan.
Absolutely. Understand while you're touching on that, if I could jump in there for a moment, Greg. I'm looking at a stat sheet on the number of troops, and they've increased this since this was printed. This material here, as far as the numbers, is probably less than 30 days old. But in Poland, we have 9,200 U.S. troops. In Germany, we already have 34,300 U.S. troops. In Romania, we have 1,900 U.S. troops. In Bulgaria, we have 2,500 U.S. troops. Estonia and Latvia, we have 4,000 NATO troops, including some American troops. So we have a massive number of troops already there, and now Biden is talking about increasing that by about 250,000 people and spreading. He says, we're not going to put troops in Ukraine, but we're going to send troops to NATO. But, Greg, my opinion is that we're going to find, as we see millions of people fleeing from the war-torn Ukrainian area, they're going into Poland. Putin hates Poland. After Poland was reinstated and after the World War II and Poland came out surviving, Putin has hated that since because Poland, as one article I read, is now totally Catholic, and Putin believes that it should have remained Russian Orthodox. And that's one of the reasons, supposedly, that Putin hates Poland. So I believe we're going to find an overflow with these immigrants rushing out of Ukraine going into Poland, and all it will take is one wrong shot, one cannon shot, one missile off center that hits Poland, and we've got bingo. We've got NATO involved, and when NATO's involved, United States of America is fully involved within the defense against the Russian aggression and attack. I've said this many, many, many years. Russia is angry. Russia is aggressive. Russia is awaiting anything that will give them the signal to go ahead with the attempt to have global domination. And in the past couple of years, past year in particular, Russia has already worked out with the Ayatollahs in Iran major, major, major alliances for funding and for transfer of wealth from nation to nation. Right now, if Russia says we're going to cut off oil production and stop sending oil to America, that's okay because they can still make the $100 plus a barrel as it stands today from China. China will buy every barrel of oil they will transport to them. So it's not going to hurt Russia at all with the quote, Joe Biden sanctions that he's talking about. Russia's already made all kinds of banking arrangements with other nations so that they don't have to worry about cutting off the banking relations through the American pipeline, if you will. So what we're seeing is Russian, how would you say, bear. By the way, always Russia has been biblically referred to as the king of the north. Syria has always been referred to in the Bible as king of the south. Go back and study the book of Daniel in the 11th chapter in particular, and folks that are listening can discover that. So watching the king of the north trying to crush with a global footprint everything that they want to take as global control. So, Greg, when we talk about the economy, boil that down for our listeners. What will that mean if you go to Walmart's and you buy something? What would that mean you pull up to a service station and fill your tank up? What will that mean from the standpoint of goods and services and products that's available as of today? Where is it going?
Well, as economies go, particularly the United States, oil has always been the lifeblood of the economy. You don't make the world go around without oil because oil goes in everything. It runs our automobiles, it runs our mills, our plants, our factories. And as we see, you know, petroleum and regular gas running you know, nearly $4 a gallon in some places. That'll quickly escalate, I'm guessing, to 5 and 6 and 7. Oil hit 104 point something about 20 minutes ago. I've not looked at the market the past few minutes. Yeah, but we're looking at highs that are just off the charts. Now, I just want you folks to remember, back when oil started going up under Bush, you had everybody on the left saying, it's all of Bush's oil buddies. It's all of... Are they saying the same thing about Biden's oil buddies? Now, of course, he has since he entered office tried to do everything he can to stymie the production of oil in this country. Oil and natural gas, you know, the leases were shut off. There was a moratorium and then a shut off. And he shut down the Keystone XL pipeline that was going to transport, you know, Canadian oils to our south along the Gulf Coast in order to hit the refineries there and then be distributed. I'd a whole lot rather have North American oil and refined products than have them coming in from OPEC or coming in from Russia. These are folks that do not like us. But you know, back to your point, economically, this upset can have reverberations much more significant than anything we've seen to date. And what we've seen to date has been a shutdown of the economy for nearly 24 months because of the Wu flu, because of the COVID, and now this right on the heels of it. Keep in mind, Joe Biden was front man for Obama in that region of the world. That's why yes. He was bragging about holding billions of dollars over the head of Ukraine in order to get Shokin fired. Shokin, that was supposedly investigating Burisma and Burisma Holdings, that was paying Biden's son $1 million a year, supposedly up to $16.5 million left Burisma and went to Hunter Biden and his partnership. So this fellow is connected. He also made a very bold claim in 2020 running for president that Putin did not want him to be president. Putin was scared of him. Putin, the last thing in the world he wanted was for Biden to be the nominee or to become the president. And supposedly Donald Trump was in bed with Putin. He was Putin's boy. He was Putin's toy. He was a tool of Putin. And you go, hold on a second. None of this resonates as being true. Putin doesn't seem to be the slightest bit scared or concerned with Biden. It seems like the whole world has come unglued in the past 13 months. And Biden seems to be at the center of this. Of course, a lot of money seems to be at the center of this. It's insane. It's insane. And to not have any follow-up investigatory process out of any of the mainstream media, this is an absolute shame and sham on this country that we no longer have investigative journalism taking place.
Absolutely. And that's part of our internal implosion for a sovereign nation as America. I believe it would be edifying for our listeners, Greg, to understand what we're dealing with when we talk about Russia. And a lot of people say, well, you know, why Russia? Ladies and gentlemen, Russia and China are the two dominant global powers that are so focused in the eschatological end times, according to the Word of God. So a few things, that, Greg, that I want to just read out statistically about the nation of Russia that many may not be aware of. Some interesting facts. 1/6 of the world's landmass is Russian. 8.6 million square miles. Over two continents, 11 time zones, over 289 million people, about 85 ethnic groups, many language groups, a variety of customs and religions. 12 different ethnic groups account for 89% of the population. Russia has a 4,500-mile border with China. China has over 1 billion people. Russian territory is larger than China, Europe, and the U.S., United States combined. Russia, well, I believe, based on the scripture, will be used of God for his purpose in getting the attention of the nation's people, including the Jewish nation. I believe God knows how to bring about a nation of people that will be on its knees before God. And I believe we're watching now the hand of God moving that will get the attention of the world. And I pray, Greg, that it will get the attention enough that Christians will get back to being serious about serving God, will get back to being serious about prayer and seeking God's face. I'm looking at an article, Greg, that says stocks just plummeted. Bitcoin hit 35,000. The oil nears $105 a barrel. Russia invading of Ukraine, worst possible scenario we could imagine for the world, this article says. And it goes on to give statistical data about the oil prices, about the Dow Jones, and what is taking place. We're going to watch a major, major, major economic downturn, and we already started into a major recession under the present movement of Biden in the Oval Office. We're watching now with, someone just said, over 3 million invaders from the southern border, and Biden transporting them across the nation, and with the imploding of our economy, with the disruption of the transportation of goods and services across America because of the restrictions on the left coast, the west coast, with Newsom as governor, and what is required of the truckers, with the truckers stoppage all over Canada, and now the truckers headed for D.C. And I don't complain about the truckers. They're simply saying, turn us loose, let us be free to do what we need to do in making our own income for our families and for transporting of goods across America. But all of these things are coming together with a perfect storm, Greg, in relationship to the crescendo that's going to take place. And as I said earlier in the broadcast, I don't believe this is going to be days or weeks. I believe we're going to be looking at months, if not years. We spent 20 years in Afghanistan. We spent over 20 years in Vietnam. We spent 1950, 51, 52, and 53 in Korea, where we were fighting a proxy war with China. I believe we're going to find proxy wars through Russia with nation after nation after nation as they try to rumble across the nations, gobbling up, if you want to use that term, land space. Here's an article here that says, be honest, Biden suggests U.S. gas prices are going to rise because of his sanctions on Russia. But, Greg, the gasoline prices are already rising. Not because of his sanctions on Russia, but because he's shutting down the oil and gas industry in America, and we're having to depend on foreign oil and foreign gas coming into our nation. Speak to that in relationship to the nexus between Biden's plans and what we see happening in Russia and the end results for Americans.
Well, first, in politics, follow the money, and you'll find the truth. And of the dollars that have flowed into the Biden family, your top three sources, as I recall, are China, Ukraine, and Russia. Isn't it amazing that those happen to be the players that we're concerned about today? Yes. And you just walked through some of the facts on Russia and how its size, its scope, its influence. You'll find some similar numbers, and I just posted a couple of hours ago on Facebook. Hopefully that Truth Social media platform will be fully functional. I mean, it's up for those Apple users today. The Android users are still in line waiting, and hundreds of thousands are in line waiting to get on that platform. However, I just posted a couple of hours ago a list of things, impact points, as to why Ukraine is important, whether we're talking their proven reserves of uranium ores. Think about this. Go back in time under Obama. Hillary Clinton and her group signed off on the Rosatom deal that allowed Uranium-1 to be purchased that had 20% of America's uranium reserves tied up in it. So we literally, through that one deal, allowed Russia, Rosatom being the corporate entity, to make that acquisition. Today, Russia owns 20% of uranium reserves in the United States.
Right.
If they walk into Ukraine, they also take the number one proven recoverable uranium reserves in the region, in all of Europe. Is it important? Yeah, it's important. But you go all the way down the list, whether it's manganese or titanium or this, that, the other thing, as well as energy reserves. That country is wealthy along that line. And, of course, it opens up even greater port facilities and everything else for them to move product around the world and move military assets around the world. These are hugely important. But what you were just discussing as to the potential snowballing effect, it points back to the biblical, the birth pangs. Are we seeing things getting faster, more intense? and closer together?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We thought it was a big deal that we get hit with this bioweapon / pandemic, and it goes around the world and kills all these people. We thought it was horrendous that economies were shut down and devastating amounts of debt were racked up, and jobs were lost everywhere, and people were dying everywhere. And now this, as well as China, as well as we have the fight in our schools every single day to keep the authoritarianism and the liberalism, the leftism from destroying our children. We have the economic shutdowns with the mandates that now you just mentioned, the trucker strikes, trucker protest. You know, literally freedom is being squashed at the same time as authoritarianism is on the rise. At the same time, we have economic potential economic collapse, as well as the same time we have war. At the same time, think about, we could just keep going at the same time, at the same time, at the same time. We thought Job had his life fall apart really fast, because each step in the equation, as Job was having it all taken away, it says, and as that one was speaking, the next came, and bad news, and the next came, bad news. That's what it's looking like in America and around the world today, and that's what the Bible says it will look like preceding, leading up to those cataclysmic events that we see in the tribulation. So absolutely. I'm not saying the tribulation's starting tomorrow, but I'm telling you, these things are the events that lead up to those events, and this is exactly what we should expect.
Precursor to it. I'm looking at an article about and from Billy Graham of years ago. Billy Graham, arguably the most respected Christian leader for generations in the West, stated in 2014 that America is as wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah were ever wicked, deserving the judgment of God. He said, if the political leaders do not start to pray again, the country will spiral out of control. God would spare us if we would earnestly pray with our hearts, and that our hearts could be cleansed and washed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Greg, we got about 45 seconds left on the broadcast. Wrap us up, take us off the air today with a challenge to Christians that are listening and what we need to do.
I just say, folks, we're getting closer, and we're getting closer today. Take a moment, take a few moments, read through Matthew 24. And we get verses 32 and 33 focus. It says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. We're right there, folks. We are right there.
Amen. Greg, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.